guys. Welcome back to the pod. Today we have a special guest here from Philly, huge fan of the Eagles, Brian. He's from the Fantasy Football Fraternity page as well. You might know him by his hashtag Castle Black. Before we get on with the show, Brian, tell us a little bit about yourself. Say hello to the fans.
What is going on, my dudes? I'm so happy to be on. I listen every week, so I feel like a fanboy right now. So I live outside of Philly, maybe 10 minutes outside of the stadiums. Been an Eagles fan my whole life. I've been playing fantasy for probably the better part of 15 years at this point, and I fell in love right away. Absolutely loved it. And, yeah, man, happy to be here. Love to talk with y'all.
And 2 years ago, BDN, Nick Foles brought a championship to the Eagles. How'd that feel?
Oh, my God. I cried like a baby, man. I'm telling you, I grew up – my first memories of sports were my grandmother – screaming at Randall Cunningham and Reggie White and Buddy Ryan and that group. And I was like, well, apparently this is important. And I just fell in love, man. I cried thinking about her. She passed away a couple years before they actually got to win the Super Bowl. I melted, man. I was like a freaking toddler, just crying my eyes out, happy as hell. 2017 was a beautiful season.
Love it. That's awesome, man. I mean, obviously being a Bills fan, I have yet to experience that. I was young when they were in the Super Bowl years, so even then, I can't even imagine it. I hope it happens one day in my lifetime. Before we get on with the show, we just want to remind everybody that at the end of this month, so it has turned July, we do have actually it's going to be the beginning of next month, August 1st. We're going to be having our draft guide coming out. Again, it is a online draft guide. It's going to be live updated. Anytime a player is suspended, cut, hurt, whatever the case may be, they're going to move up or down in the rankings. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be like one of those magazines that you go and buy in the store and pick it up on the shelf, except for being that it's going to be live and online, you can actually, it's not going to be outdated when something happens. So just keep that in mind. It's going to be posted on the Fantasy Football Fraternity page. We're going to have it listed to different download links and stuff like that. So, Adam, do you want to throw in anything on that before we move on?
No, we're working hard on that. I mean, all of us work on our regular day jobs, and then we're putting this guy together. So it's been crazy and hectic, but we're going to get it done. It's going to be super good for everybody to use.
All right, good stuff. Let's move on. So today's main focus, and for the next 8 episodes of the podcast, we're gonna break down each individual division, and kind of just talk about relevant fantasy players, different players at their ADP, some guys that we like and dislike from their teams. Today's gonna be the NFC East because we have Brian on, so he's gonna be able to gloat about the Philadelphia Eagles and all their weapons that they got. So we're going to break it down. Each team will go around and just basically break it down like that. So we'll start with the Dallas Cowboys. We'll do a shit team sandwich, we'll call it. Start with the Cowboys, go with the Giants and the Redskins in the middle. That's kind of like your meat, and then end it off good with the Philadelphia Eagles. So Adam, why don't you kick us off? What do you got for the Cowboys so far?
Well, the Cowboys overall should be, again, really fun to watch. You're going in your first full season with Amari Cooper. We've seen how well Dak and the Cowboys performed fantasy-wise and in real life once Amari joined the team. So I'm excited, even though I'm not a huge Cowboys fan. But whenever there's a good team to watch, I'm always watching. And they have maybe one of the most underrated offenses coming into this year. You have, you know, of course, the main focus is Zeke Elliott, who's going to be huge again. Dak is always, I think, a underrated draft pick in drafts. He always goes of the round in the drafts, and that's in the absolute. He proves to be a steal, like, every year. Amari Cooper, who, now that he has a better quarterback outside of Derek Carr, that's just going to be huge for him now. And then Michael Gallup, I mean, I think he's going to be a fairly well-known name by the first couple weeks of the season. And then one of my personal favorites is Jason Witten is back, coming out of retirement. And even though I don't think he's going to be too big of a role or used too well, I mean, it's still going to be fun to at least watch him back on the field. So they're excited to watch. And I'm going to probably end up drafting a lot of these guys just because, as I said, they are being slept on.
Yeah, as far as fantasy relevancy goes, you obviously have Zeke Elliott going in the top 2 to 3 picks. Some people taking him as high as 1, see him going as low as maybe 4. Haven't really seen him slip past 4. Amari Cooper is up there going in the early part of the 3rd round. Outside of that, Dak Prescott he's a good two quarterback league quarterback. I don't think I would take him as one of my main 12. Michael Gallup is a good sleeper and like dynasty guy. Witten, I'm not really seeing him being drafted too much. He's going to be more of a undrafted guy picking up on waivers. Randall Cobb is another, I wouldn't necessarily say dynasty, but like more of a deep sleeper guy. 3, 4, 5 flex leagues that you got him in. So they definitely have some good offensive talent to where they're going to be fantasy relevant, but not too much. Not too many guys that I'm touching. Brian, what about your biggest rivals there, the Dallas Cowboys? What do you like about them, dislike about them?
All right, so what I got for the Cowboys, I'll start with the quarterback because, let's face it, it's the most important position in the world. I like Dak where he's at with his ADP. I got my ADPs from Calculator, Fantasy Football Calculator, this morning. I have him at he's going to QB 18, round 11, pick 8. I mean, that's kind of a steal. Like Adam said previously, every year he ends up as like a top 10, top 8, top 12. He gives you those rushing touchdowns. He gives you a little sneaky bit of rushing yardage. I'm okay with him as like my backup bye week fill-in. If you're a guy that likes to draft two quarterbacks, I'm not going to take him as my starter because even if you wait and be the last guy in your league to draft a starter, it's probably not going to be Dak, but I'm okay with him. As far as Zeke, I've got him as like my RB2. I'll try to play devil's advocate and say that the only thing that scares me a little bit is the recent news saying that they don't have him as a priority as far as his contract. That freaks me out slightly just because the dude seems to be a bit of a head case, off the field issue. Who knows how he's going to respond to that? Don't get me wrong. I still have him as my RB2. If I'm drafting 2 or 3, 1, I'm happy to get the guy. Cooper, he's going as wide receiver 13, round 3, pick 9. I'm okay with that. I probably don't want him to be my wide receiver 1, but I'm very happy to have him as my wide receiver 2. He's definitely going to get a lot of looks. And the last note I have on the Cowboys is Randall Cobb. He's going as wide receiver 60, basically undrafted, maybe a 15th round pick. He's going to fill that Cole Beasley role. I mean, there was weeks in PPR where Cole Beasley got you 16, 17 points. I'm not going to rely on that, but I'm happy to take a last round flyer on Randall Cobb this year for sure.
All right, Eric, anything to add? Anything on top of those players?
I definitely do. So Zeke, he's my number one guy in all drafts, redrafts, period. He is my guy. He's never averaged less than 16.8 points per game in a season. And last year he averaged almost 20 per game in a season. He's my number one guy. I like Barkley. I don't like the offense nearly as much as I like the Cowboys offense. It is the one thing I worry about is the stacking of the box, especially if Eli struggles and they bring in Daniel Jones, and then Daniel Jones, he's a runner, so he might take away some of that from Saquon as well. So Zeke is my number one guy. And then we got Amari Cooper. Once he got to Dallas, he averaged 8.5 targets a game, which was the best in his career, 9.5 yards per target. Once again, best in his career. He had 150 yards in 2 different games, matching his career total in Oakland over 3 years. And in weeks 8 through 17, he had 76 targets, which was the 11th in the NFL, 53 receptions, also the 11th in the NFL, 725 yards, 10th in the NFL, and 6 touchdowns, which was 5th in the NFL. None of those numbers falling outside of wide receiver 1 options. Give me, a full year of him in the offseason with Dak, and I can't see him outside of those numbers, period. I got him as my 9th wide receiver, which is pretty high amongst the consensus. Gallup, he posted double-digit PPR points in 3 of his last 5 games in Dallas. Once Amari got there, he actually got better, which is kind of, it's kind of hard to imagine. But so in the playoff games, he was 7 for 106 and then 6 for 65 and a touchdown. So five of his last eight games, he was a startable asset in fantasy football, and he is the 68th wide receiver off the board. I feel like he's a wide receiver three, maybe four, whatever, still at 68. He's a value. He's a steal. And I love Dak. That's, you know, the guy I didn't mention. I disagree that he's a QB2. I think that he's never finished outside of QB11. And if I take Kelsey or Ertz or one of those guys early, I'll wait on quarterback all draft and take him in the 12th round, and I'll be happy starting him off, you know, for the rest of the year. So that's my Cowboy take.
Yeah, Dak, he's not – I mean, I knew what his numbers were coming in without even looking them up. He's averaging about 29 total touchdowns a season, which is – which is pretty solid for fantasy, I guess. I mean, he's only getting you about 22, 23 touchdowns passing, but then he's adding six rushing touchdowns. Every year he's added six rushing touchdowns, which is really good. If you play in a league where rushing touchdowns are a little bit more than passing touchdowns, that definitely helps you out there too. I don't know. I mean, and he doesn't really seem to turn the ball over too much. He did have 2 years ago, he had, I think it was 12 interceptions or so, or I have it up here somewhere. Hang on 1 second. He had 13 interceptions 2 years ago with 22 passing touchdowns and six rushing touchdowns. And the yardage isn't quite there. He's not really chucking over 4,000 yards. But with Amari Cooper there, I think those numbers definitely go up. Michael Gallup, I think, takes a big step this year. Jason Witten, his safety blanket, is back. So, and they went out and got Randall Cobb, who's basically a clone of Cole Beasley. So they definitely have the offense to spread around. As far as fantasy relevant rookies that we got, not really much that I could get my hands on. I found Tony Pollard and Mike Weber, both running backs that were drafted. But I mean, behind Zeke, really, I don't know. I mean, unless you're in the dynasty league or you're really deep rosters, you really don't. You're not going to have any room for him on your bench. If Zeke happens to go down with either injury or suspension, you're probably going to be grabbing him up on the waiver wire. Not sure who's the number one behind Zeke right now, but they're both at this point. They're just handcuff options. Really, nothing else fantasy relevant outside of them. As far as I wanted to mention their defense, though. And I started to put together a little spreadsheet here, but their defense for the first 3 weeks is prime defense reality right there. They got their versus the Giants in week one, at the Redskins in week two, and then versus the Dolphins in week three. So I know a lot of you guys, especially you, Eric, you don't like drafting defenses in our mock drafts, and maybe it is just for mock, and then when it comes down to the actual regular draft, you may take one late, but I know for one thing's for sure that I'm going to be looking at defenses, and I'm going to be looking at the Dallas defense when it comes time to it in the 14th, 15th round if they're still hanging around there because of that first 3 week schedule.
Me too, man. I'm a defense streamer. I do not believe in drafting defenses to play all year. I've never had success with that, with starting a defense. I take that back. I had success with that the other year when Denver. 3-4 years ago, I got them, and I got them as the last pick in my draft, and they were just, when Von Miller, when they won the Super Bowl, the greatest defense ever, and nobody really saw that coming. So I like to stream, and when I stream, I like to draft a defense that starts the season hot, and Dallas will be on a lot of my teams coming up.
Yeah, they got three great matchups. Before we move on to the next team, Adam, I know you had a guy that you are looking forward to one single game from. Who is it, and who's he playing against?
Yeah, and I mentioned him earlier about being a sleeper, and it's Michael Gallup. He did very well. He didn't blow anybody away his rookie year, but still he had over 500 receiving yards, a pair of touchdowns. And this year you would assume he's the clear-cut number two behind Amari Cooper, probably the third guy in targets because, you know, Zeke is a huge factor in the pass game. But I'm looking forward, you know, week four against the New Orleans Saints. Last season, he went against the Saints, and in a game that's a potential shootout, and a guy that could do huge things for you right off the bat. Last year, Gallup had 5 catches for 76 yards, and that was just a red game. The game wasn't a shootout. I believe it was a 13-10 game or something. It was a very low score, and with that didn't include Amari Cooper. So with Cooper being here, with the offense should be a little bit more better overall. It could just be a massive game where each team puts up, you know, in the high 30s, low 40s, and I think Gallup could just single-handedly win fantasy teams their matchup that week.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. He's going drafted late in a lot of drafts, but he's definitely being drafted. I don't think last year he's being drafted too much, except for some of the deeper leagues. I think, Eric, you had him in our Dynasty League, and you still do. Moving on to the next team here. Eric, why don't you start us off with the why don't you go with the Redskins here?
Okay. The Redskins, I only had a little bit of work on. I think Haskins should start. And if Haskins starts, still, I think he's not a startable fantasy quarterback. I think that he's going to take a couple years to really get going. But he is, I think, the best option going for. I think he is a good quarterback. I think he was actually one of the steals at the quarterback position. Kyler going number one, you can't say that's a steal. But I can't believe the Giants passed on Haskins to take Daniel Jones at six. I think Haskins is an NFL quarterback. I think he's going to be good. I just don't think it's this year. So quarterbacks, I'm going to skip. Running backs, Geis. He's going as RB 30. He's still, in my opinion, in reports I've read, he's either not healthy or he is healthy. I'm not really sure what's going on with his health, but they re-signed AP, who had over 1,000 yards last year. He had a good year last year. He's going as the 30. He's going in the round six. And after that goes Lamar Miller. Some of the wet running backs to go after him are Lamar Miller, Rashad Penny, Latavius Murray, Sanders for the Eagles, Ronald Jones. I'll take any of those guys. I'd rather have any of those guys over Geis. So I'm skipping Geis in all drafts. He's just not going to be on any of my teams. The wide receivers, I mean, there's some talk about Trey Quinn being a PPR guy. Maybe he gets over the middle and is a target for the quarterback. But that whole – I mean, I want nothing to do with pretty much wide receivers in general that are coming out of Washington. Now, as a tight end, I think Jordan Reed is a steal. He's going as the 17th tight end. And granted, everybody knows Jordan Reed can't stay healthy. But he's going as the 17th tight end. He's going in round 13. If you skip – over tight end all the way till the end of your draft and you get him and he's healthy the first 3-4 weeks, he's going to put up he put up tight end 8 numbers last year when healthy. He's going to put up those numbers. He's a talented guy. Whoever's playing quarterback will look for him. So if you decide to not draft a tight end at all and in round 13 you take your tight end and you just stack your running backs and wide receivers, I actually like that.
Yeah, and I think we're all going to pretty much have the same kind of thoughts on them. They have no players going in the first 5 rounds ADP wise. They got a couple rookies to look out for, and not maybe not for this year so much, but like just for dynasty. Me and Adam kind of have a soft spot for Kelvin Harmon. Had him on the show early on in the show, so I do like him. He definitely has the opportunity to be the number one there, but he is a good. Maybe a late flex option, dynasty option. Terry McLaurin is another dynasty option there. Dwayne Haskins, primarily for dynasty. And then one that we don't really talk a lot too much about is in IDP leagues, but Montez Sweat could be a decent IDP player, and especially one that could start from the beginning. So he's definitely somebody that I'm going to keep my eye on out there for. I'm not in a lot of IDP leagues. In the one league that I am in, that's IDP, we already drafted, and I did not get my hands on him, but he is one. If there's anybody on this team that I'm going to be targeting, it would be him or Darius Geis. Outside of them, Jordan Reed, yeah, he's often injured. Paul Richardson and Josh Doctson, I really don't want anything to do with them because their quarterback situation, even if we know who their starting quarterback is week one, I really don't think I'm touching any wide receiver. Brian, anything different that you want to add or anything that you want to touch on any of the guys that we mentioned?
Yeah, so I'm glad you brought up IDP because I did want to get one last thing in on the Cowboys is that their two linebackers, Vander Esch and Jaylon Smith, are absolute monsters. Like, they should be in – anyone that plays IDP, they should be a starter in your league. So I definitely like both of those guys a lot as far as IDP goes. With Washington, you know, nobody's drafting Case Keenum. Haskins is obviously someone you want to pick up at a reasonable price in dynasty leagues. But, you know, I don't see him having any fantasy impact this year. Geis, you know, he's probably not going to end up on any of my teams just because he's going as, you know, well, when I looked it up today, RB27, Eric was saying 30, but that's still a little pricey for me, like mid-round five, late-round five. There's a lot of guys that I'd rather have than him. Eric brought a few of them up. Lamar Miller for one. Give me old reliable Lamar Miller over Geis anytime at that price. I kind of like Adrian Peterson. I feel like he's going to end up getting a good chunk of the work, maybe half of, if not more. I mean, the guy's he's the GOAT. He's the best running back that we've seen in years and years. He still went for 1,000 yards last year. Like, I don't see him going away. I feel like he'll be a thorn in Geis's side all year. I'm probably going to avoid all of them. With Jordan Reed, he's going as tight end 17, you know, last round pick. I'm okay with grabbing him, you know, if just as maybe one of two tight ends. If you feel like waiting on tight end and grabbing him and maybe somebody else, maybe one of the rookies, Fant or Hockenson, if you're not going to grab one of the top guys, I'm a firm believer this year in that if you're not going to get one of the top three, you know, Kelce, Ertz, Kittle, I will wait and stream tight end. I have no problem streaming tight end, and Jordan Reed's a strong candidate to do that with this year. And that's about all I got on Washington, because they are a dumpster fire as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, Reed definitely has the he's definitely got the talent to hang with those top guys. He can't stay healthy. I don't know if he's had a full 16-game season.
Dude, as an Eagles fan, I can tell you I've watched Jordan Reed put up 150 yards and two touchdowns on us more than three times. Like, that guy can ball. He just cannot stay healthy.
He just finds the strength to come out against Philly and then just, the rest that's of the
it.
Time.
It's like he gets to Philly, he has a cheesesteak and a pretzel, and he's just ready to rock, man. He has ruined my Sunday way more than once.
Yeah, there's another guy that has Philly's number that we're going to get to a little bit later. I can't wait to talk about him. Adam, what do you got on the Skins?
I'm somewhat higher on Dwayne Haskins since I'm a Big Ten guy, Michigan State. If he ends up winning a starting job, I will probably end up drafting him in like the last round or two as maybe my potential second quarterback because he's so talented and so advanced, even though he's only a one-year starter at Ohio State. So I think that could be a potential – he could potentially be worth a gamble later on, or it's not even a gamble, just take a flyer on him. And Jordan Reed, even though he can't stay healthy, the guy puts up basically what, you know, in like, say, a half a season, he basically puts up the numbers that the rest of the tight ends put up outside of the big three in full seasons. I mean, he had over 50 catches, almost 560 yards, and a pair of touchdowns. I mean, as long as he's at least healthy where he's walking on the field, even if, you know, we don't know if it's going to be 3 games, 8, 10, I'm going to draft him. I'm going to know that he'll give me decent, you know, production when he is out there. And then, now, granted, if you do take him, you are going to have another option that you can actually be comfortable of, you know, with starting every week. But, yeah, I mean, I'll put Jordan Reed in the flex position when he's healthy, get good numbers from that spot, and hope and pray I can get a whole season out of him, because then – you probably are going to have the steal of the whole draft.
Now, you have sort of a comedic player game that you are looking forward to. And I say comedic because it's week 11, and we all know Jordan Reed's probably not going to be healthy by then. But why are you looking forward to Jordan Reed in week 11?
All right, well, I'm taking him. So he's going to – since I'm going to own him, he's going to play the whole season. You know, we do a podcast and everything. He's going to hear this. He's going to play the whole season. It's going to be against the Jets in week 11, hoping that he makes it, because as you guys mentioned, the Redskins have no legitimate threat at wide receiver as of now. We don't know how these rookies are going to turn out, so that something could happen. But as of now, when he is on the field, he's the only true threat in the pass game outside of, you know, basically any of the running backs. But I think he could have his best game of the year against New York. They don't have any really – linebackers that can cover tight ends, and even their secondary was a little shaky last year, so I think he could take huge advantage of that And yeah, I don't care who his quarterback is. I think he's talented enough where he'll make his quarterback look good. And with whoever was under center, Haskins, McCoy, Keenum, they're going to know that he's their best chance of at least putting up respectable numbers and trying to get them to win. So I think week 11, a huge week for him. And I think he could potentially, if he is playing week 11, he could score the most fantasy points of all the tight ends that week.
Oh, wow. Ballsy predictions already. As far as their first 3 weeks for their defense and special teams, they have a pretty solid unit. I think their defense is probably going to be one of their brightest spots of the whole team and watching the development of Dwayne Haskins. But their first three opponents for their defense to go up against is at the Eagles, versus the Cowboys, and then versus the Bears. So I don't think I'm going to be touching them at all, as strong as their defense might be. At the Eagles versus the Cowboys kind of scares me a little bit. The Bears have a pretty solid offense, so I'm just going to stay away from the Redskins. If I do stream them, it's going to be later on in the season, week four, after I drop Dallas. The Skins do play the Giants, so maybe I'll grab them there. But you guys touching the Redskins at all defense?
No.
Later on in the season, yeah, like, you know, a week to play in a bad team, sure, because they do have a pretty solid defense, but not to start the season, absolutely not, with those first three matchups.
Yeah, some pretty bad matchups. Moving on
Sorry. Sorry, Jerry, can I jump in?
Yeah, go ahead.
I didn't mention, man, and AP is going late. I like grabbing AP where he's at, and Chris Thompson is basically going undrafted, and I'd like to grab Chris Thompson and AP way late in drafts. I like grabbing one of those two guys, if not both. And if Geist doesn't start the season healthy, one of those guys is going to be great. So I wanted to touch on that.
I'll second that. I definitely like Thompson going as undrafted or like in the last round. I mean, you guys definitely all remember there was a point. I forget if it was the beginning of last season or the beginning of two seasons ago. That dude was getting like 23 fantasy points a game. I think he was like running back 5 or 6 in PPR scoring. I mean, the dude has so much talent. Again, health an issue, but if you can get him as your last pick or pick him up on waivers on week one, given Geis's sketchy health history, dude, I'm all for that.
His PPR machine too. And Adrian Peterson, he says he wants to hit 2,000 yards. So I doubt that's going to happen, but I mean, they're probably going to want to feed him the rock. He's only got a couple solid years left, if that. So definitely run him into the ground before he decides to hang him up.
Yep, and that's what scares me about Geis, man. They gave AP some money. He's talking about 2K yards. He got 1,000 last year. Like, I don't like Geis at his current ADP, man. I won't own him in any leagues.
All right, moving on to the Giants here. We all know that Buffalo is the only true team in New York, so we got the New Jersey Giants here.
Nice.
had to throw that in there. Their only player that's in the top 5 rounds as far as ADP goes is Saquon Barkley. He's pretty much the consensus number one. With the lack of offense that they got, though, I have seen him go 2 and even 3 with Zeke and Kamara going up there ahead of him. But if you're picking in the top 4 and you're getting either Saquon, Zeke, Kamara, or McCaffrey, you're pretty happy about that. So Saquon Barkley, pick 101. He's pretty much their only guy in the top 5 rounds. Their offensive depth chart, they got Eli Manning or Daniel Jones. Who knows who's going to start? Daniel Jones is more of your dynasty guy if you want to pick him up. Eli Manning, he lost his biggest weapon in Odell, so I don't know how he's going to be this year. I'm probably staying away. If there's anybody on this team that I'm touching, it is only going to be Saquon Barkley. I do have Sterling Shepard in a couple of dynasty leagues, and I do like his opportunity there, taking over the number one role. They went out and got Golden Tate as well, so it's really hard to say who exactly is the number one, in quotes, but one of them has to catch the ball. So I wouldn't mind grabbing them a little late, but it has to be super late. Evan Ingram is a solid tight end, but again, this offense it's not going to be good at all. They're going to be down there with Miami. They're going to be down there with the Skins. It's just not going to be – it's going to be ugly for them. As far as like IDP goes, Dexter Lawrence for fantasy rookies, not just IDP in general, but fantasy rookies, Dexter Lawrence, the defensive tackle, he's a guy that I might look at. Really depends on IDP scoring, I guess, because really defensive tackles don't really do too much. They get a little bit of the tackles, not too much for sacks and stuff, though. So, Eric, what do you got about them, the Giants?
The Giants, okay. Well, quarterbacks, I don't think I need to touch on too much. I actually, in Dynasty, I think Daniel Jones is a good ad. He's an athletic guy, so he does like to run with the ball. He looks like Eli Manning, but plays different. And so that's my take. I'm not drafting Eli Manning in any, even a two quarterback league. I'm not going to mess with him because he could get replaced at any time. Saquon Barkley goes without saying. He's Zeke's my number one, but it's so close between him and Saquon. I really, it doesn't matter. They're both awesome, and that's all you need to say about him. Now, as the wide receivers go, Tate, I love Tate. And in New York, I think he went to the Eagles last year, and even though he was in a decent situation, a midseason trade for a slot receiver that needs to learn a new offense, Doug Peterson's offense, is not necessarily the easiest to learn. And I think he kind of got a bad shake there, and he goes to New York. And if Eli starts all year, he's going to be looking to dump off and dump off and dump off and dump off. And Tate is going as the 42nd wide receiver overall, 106, or 42nd wide receiver, 106 overall. I love the value. Shepard's going two rounds ahead of him, and he's going to probably play more outside than in, even though he's more of an inside receiver than, you know, a typical outside wide receiver. So I worry about Shepard and his role in general, but Tate, man, he's going to catch those bubble screens. He's going to catch those over-the-middle things. He's going to do his thing. I think that at 106 overall, wide receiver 42, I actually have him at 25 myself. Shepard, I'm entirely fading because of that. I love Golden Tate this year. I think he's going to be on a lot of my teams. Evan Engram, he's a guy. So I think there's two tiers. Well, three tiers. I think Kelsey's in a tier. And then I think Ertz and Kittle are in a tier. And I think Ertz is more middle round three and Kittle's the end to round four. And then after that, you either get O.J. Howard, Evan Engram, or Hunter Henry. And then after that, you might as well just wait.
And wait till
round 10. Jared Cook's a 9-8 guy. Still, I'm talking about round 5-6. There's Howard, Engram, Henry. And Engram is actually my 5. Howard's my 4. Ingram's my 5, and Henry's my 6. And Ingram's going at pick 604. I would love to get my 3 wide receivers and 2 running backs, or 3 running backs and 2 wide receivers, and then get Engram in my 6th round and have him as my tight end. I think he's going to get a lot of targets. He's always played well when OBJ wasn't in the lineup. So that's where I'm at on Giants. I like Engram. I like Tate. Love Saquon. Other than that, I'm fading all of them.
Yeah, Saquon's one of those guys. He's basically like Todd Gurley of last year, where if you don't have pick number one, you're not getting him. And that's kind of where it's at. Ingram's going around the same spot as where Darius Geis is going. So it's kind of between those two. Do you want Darius Geis or do you want Ingram? I'm taking Ingram in that spot too. Adam, what do you got about the Giants?
Well, of course, Barkley is by far the most notable name when it comes to fantasy. But yeah, I mean, you're not touching the quarterbacks. And for me, it's going to be interesting to see Shepard and Engram, because we don't know how they'll do with the focus being shifted to them. They've had Odell their whole careers, which both of their careers have been very short, but they've never had to worry about being the number one or the main option other than when Odell was hurt, but we've seen how that went. But yeah, the one I trust most is Golden Tate. I seen it here in Detroit. Their short stuff works for him. I mean, you just throw him the bubble screens, and even though they should only go for, what, a handful of yards, 5-6 yards, he turns them into 15, 20-yard plays, big touchdowns. And, you know, I'll gamble on that. I mean, I think people are looking at his situation and where he's playing at, and they're not remembering, his 2017 season, his 2018 season, before he got traded. It's, when he was with the Lions, when he was with Seattle, he was a scary guy. He was a legitimate home run threat. And I think that's going to, you know, really help Eli try to stay relevant in New York. And honestly, I think if Eli got benched, I think that Golden Tate's stock goes up big time, because I think Daniel Jones is going to use him for every chance he drops back, every time. Every time he drops back, he's going to look for Golden Tate, because he can know that Golden Tate has really good hands, that he's a guy where, you know, even though he doesn't have the longest arms, he's a smaller guy, Golden Tate just finds a way to catch the balls no matter where you throw it. And he does something with it. I mean, he's a perfect security blanket. And, you know, normally it's like a tight end. But no, for him, it's going to be Golden Tate. And it's, you know, like Eric said, the situation really messed him up getting traded in the middle of the season. And to be honest, I don't really think, you know, Philadelphia really even necessarily needed him at the time. It was just a mover. He was available, so they grabbed him. They had, give me Barkley, of course, Golden Tate, and then I'd have to find the right spot for Shepard and Ingram.
And Brian, you've had a little taste of Golden Tate live in front of you. What do you think about him and the rest of the Giants?
Sure, man. So I'll start with Golden Tate. I disagree, and this is probably based on what I saw from him last year. I don't like him this year so much. I want to see something out of him before I would draft him, even where, you know, he's going pretty low. He just looks so lost out of that Lions Jim Bob Cooter offense. I mean, it just didn't fit in. Like, it may have been the Eagles. I'm probably being a homer right now, but like, from what I saw with my own eyes last year when he came to my team, I don't trust him with this brand new team. He's basically doing the same thing again. Granted, he's going to get a full offseason to work with them, but like, I just don't see it. I'll go to Barkley now, because obviously he's the focal point. He's my RB1. I'll give you one of the games against the Eagles last year as an example why he's just – his floor is so high. The first run that he had against us was like 35 yards right up the middle, and I was like, oh, my God, this guy's going to kill us. But the Eagles had a great run defense, and they shut him down in the run game the rest of the game. But at the end of that game, he also had 9 catches for 99 yards. Dude, you're happy if your wide receiver one gets 9 catches for 99 yards in PPR. So that's why he's my one. I love him to death. If I get the first overall pick, I'm taking Barkley. No question. I do like Shepard. I mean, someone's going to step in and take that down the field role that Beckham left wide open. He's going, as of today, as wide receiver 36, late round 8. I'll probably end up owning Shepard on a few teams. I don't want him to be my starter or a flex, but, you know, who knows how this offense plays out. He may end up being, you know, a low-end wide receiver too, so I'll take him at that price. Engram is going as tight end 6, like late round 6. I'm okay with getting 3 running backs, 2 receivers, and then grabbing him there. I think he also takes a good chunk of those targets that Beckham left open. And, yeah, you know, I think Daniel Jones, to agree with Eric, I'm okay with taking Daniel Jones, you know, mid rounds in a dynasty league. You never know what's going to happen. The Giants obviously see something in this guy to draft him that high. He may be a bust, but he's worth it. You know, he's worth where he's getting drafted in dynasty leagues for sure, in my opinion.
Yeah, they're going to be picking real early again next year. So if Daniel Jones works out, if he's their guy, they don't have to worry about taking a quarterback, and they could go somewhere else and with their top 3 to 5 pick that they're going to have. Like Adam was doing, a couple of guys that he was looking forward to specific games. Sterling Shepard, I kind of put a little piece on him. Week 14 against the Eagles, that's the first time that they play, and then they play again in week 17. Last year, Sterling Shepard really didn't do much, but the year before that, 2017, or in 2018, he had 272 yards on 18 catches and 2 touchdowns in both meetings, and he broke a 77-yarder and a 67-yarder in each game. And then in his rookie year, the year before that, he had a touchdown in both of the games versus the Eagles. So he kind of has a thing for the Eagles. He shows up in those games. He didn't quite have the yardage in 2017 versus the Eagles, but again, he had a touchdown and he had 50-something yards in one and 60-something yards in the other with a handful of catches in each. So with Odell gone, the production, I think, has an opportunity to be there, and he's got 4 touchdowns in 6 games versus the Eagles in his career. So he definitely a guy that maybe if you don't want to start him all season long, that's fine, but versus the Eagles in those 2 games, maybe at least consider it, or at least the 1 game, because week 17 is the other game, and nobody plays fantasy football week 17. So he's definitely a guy to look out for there. If we don't have anything else on the Giants, their first 3 games for defense, they're at the Cowboys. I'm not touching them there. They're versus the Bills. I'm not touching them. And then they're at the Bucks, and the Bucks, I think, are going to have a pretty decent offense. So I'm not touching them at all in for fantasy defense. I don't think their defense is going to be good at all. So just kind of staying away from them completely. And now moving on to the 2017 Super Bowl champions, the team, the hometown team of Mr. Brian here, and I'll let you kick us off here. The Philadelphia Eagles, go ahead.
Actually, if you don't mind, Jerry, real quick, want to go back to the whole Golden Tate thing, because I do think he's a guy that can honestly, with him being slept on, can win a lot of fantasy owners championships, since he's being slept on just over a crappy situation. Look how many games, when especially the first few weeks when he got traded, of how few targets and even catches he had. I mean, his numbers don't look good because he wasn't getting targeted. I think his first game, I think he had 2 targets the whole game. I mean, he wasn't being looked at. And it's something, I think, that really affected him. And I think a lot of people don't look at it. I mean, like, guys like us, we know this already. Like, we look into it big time, and we already know that this situation was bad in this, but, you know, there's more of, like, the just regular fantasy guys that do it for fun. Like, we basically do this because this is basically, like, a lifestyle. But the guys that do this for fun, they might not see the numbers that it was – he just wasn't getting targeted. And, you know, you'll pull up the stats for, the previous year and just, oh, well, he only had this many yards and blah, blah, blah. But they don't notice about the more important things, like the looks. How many targets were you getting? And he wasn't getting that, which – If you factor that in, that's really the only reason why he had a bad year.
Yeah, no doubt about that. That's definitely something that getting deep into fantasy, you gotta look into that. I know in our group chat, Will Power, he's always talking about different targets and touches, and it's stuff that, like, when I first started playing, I really wasn't looking at it either. I was looking at, like, first I was actually looking at the names, and then I got more into it and started looking at targets and started looking at touches and started looking at how the ball spread out, and it's just stuff that you learn over time.
Volume over talent, man. Volume over talent. That's fantasy football.
And just being in the group with you guys has taught me all that.
And before I get into my Eagles, I'll say this about Tate. The dude is obviously an extremely talented receiver. He's fireworks when he's got the ball in his hands. So I've watched him take bubble screens. I've owned him in years past when he was with the Lions and was so happy that I owned him. And his ADP isn't crazy. So I'll pump the brakes a little bit. Like, I'm not saying don't draft Golden Tate. I mean, he's going as wide receiver 51, late 11th round. You're good to take him there. I just, from what I saw from the eye test last year, I want to see him adapt to a new offense before – you know, I invest in him. So that's all I'll say about Tate. I don't want people to think that I'm just completely hating on him or think that he's untalented or anything like that. I just like Shepard a little bit more this year.
All right. And then let's get to the Eagles. What do you got, Brian, on them?
All right. The Lombardi Trophy winning champions of 2017, man. I'll start with my boy Carson. He's going as QB9 as of this morning, like late 7th, early 8th round. I'm okay with that. The only thing I will say, though, is I am going to draft a second capable quarterback, maybe a Rivers or a Winston or someone a little bit after him, just to cover him for the injury history. I mean, we've all seen it. Carson Wentz was winning people a fantasy championship in 2017 before he got hurt. The dude's an absolute stud. You know, he struggled a little bit last year, but he still put up absolute QB1 numbers. I have no problem with his ADP where it is. With the running backs, even though I'm a diehard Eagles fan, I'm probably not touching any Eagles running backs because Howard is going as RB33. Sanders is going as RB 36 in redrafts. I'm staying away from both of them, at least until I see what they're going to do. I have no idea. I mean, Clement is still there. Sproles might unretire. I mean, there's so many cogs in that Eagles backfield that I don't want any of them at their current ADP. I will say, you know, Sanders is certainly a high pick in dynasty leagues. The dude has a lot of talent. He didn't get any really wear on his tires because Saquon Barkley was at Penn State for the majority of his career. The dude's fresh. He may end up being a huge stud, but I'm not taking him in redraft leagues in round, you know, three or four where he's going. That's just nuts to me. Wide receiver-wise, Alshon, he's going as wide receiver 28, late sixth round, early seventh. I'm okay with that. He's been pretty hit or miss fantasy-wise. He's not a guy that I'm targeting, but if he falls to me a little bit past his current ADP, I'll take him. I think DeSean Jackson is probably the Eagles receiver that I'll end up owning more. I mean, he's going as like wide receiver 46 as of this morning, late 10th round, early 11th round. That guy, you know, he's a dart throw. You never know if you can start him or not, but there's some weeks that he's going to win you the week. From all the reports I'm hearing out of, you know, Eagles training camp, he looks like he hasn't lost a step. Him and Carson Wentz have a great rapport. I'm definitely okay with taking DeSean Jackson as one of your later picks and just stashing him on your bench, using him for your bye weeks. Definitely good with that. I'll finish with my boy Zach Ertz. I want to personally thank all three of you and the rest of the guys in our Dynasty League for letting me get Zach Ertz in like the seventh round in our Dynasty draft, because my God, he's an absolute machine. He'll win you weeks, week in and week out. Carson Wentz has posters of Zach Ertz on his wall. If you play in PPR, the guy set the all-time NFL record for catches by a tight end last year. I have no issue with him as your tight end one, even over Kelsey. Who knows what is happening in KC this year, if Hill's going to be there, et cetera. But love Zach Ertz. You have to take him in the third round, which is a little crazy to me. But for me, if you have your running back one and your wide receiver one and Ertz is falling to you in the third round, there is no reason not to take him because he's going to win you your tight end matchup week in and week out. And, you know, with how sketchy tight end is past the top three, I'll take him all day, every day at that ADP.
Yeah, Ertz in the third round is definitely good. I don't like Kelsey in the second. I like Kittle and Ertz in the third. I don't like tight end that high to begin with, but with if I get a solid running back and I get a solid wide receiver in the first two rounds and Ertz is standing there staring at me, I don't think I would hesitate to take him. Two guys you didn't touch on, Nelson Agholor and J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. Any value on them? Any thoughts on them? J.J. probably more so in Dynasty, but do you see anything out of Nelson this year?
So from, you know, what I hear from the local sports talk radio and everything is J.J. is probably going to be a situational guy to start. You know, they paid Agholor big money. He's going to be the third wide receiver on the field most of the time. They're talking about a lot of, you know, red zone targets for Whiteside. Again, Dynasty, absolutely. He should be one of the top, you know, six or seven wide receivers taken in Dynasty, maybe higher. But he's not a guy that I'm looking at in redraft leagues. Nelson, I like him in the same regard that I brought up Randall Cobb earlier. I think, you know, there's going to be weeks where he gives you those Cole Beasley 7-8 catches for 60 yards type of numbers. I'm okay with him as like a late round flyer or like a bye week fill in. But, you know, in redraft, especially, you know, Nelson Agholor is not a guy that's going to get drafted, at least in my opinion.
And Eric and Adam, Brian's not too high on Jordan Howard or Miles Sanders. Are either of you taking any of those running backs a little higher, or do you like him this year?
Yeah, I would go after Jordan Howard. I mean, it seems like people sleep on him too much. I mean, he's super talented. You know, they traded for him, so I do think he's going to have some type of role, and I think it will be enough to make him fantasy relevant. If I can get him at a decent price, I will. I don't know why people there's a lot of people that just they don't like Jordan Howard. I mean, I get the Miles Sanders thing because he is going fairly early, and you can't really trust running backs unless it's like, you know, you're getting, you know, you're getting hyped up like Zeke Elliott, even Josh Jacobs. But I mean, I probably won't touch him because I do think if Jordan Howard comes into training camp, into the preseason, and he puts a good 4 or 5 weeks straight, and he's showing that he should be the main guy there, I believe he's going to be main guy all season. I think him getting traded, even though you remember, I think Jordan Howard's, what, like 24 years old. He got traded just basically for a running back that can catch the ball. And I think he's going to put the chip on his shoulder, and I'll draft him. I'll let him play with that chip, and he's a guy that I'm hoping can end up actually being an RB1, high RB2 for me.
Whew. Yeah, he is still young. They did just trade for him, and I think a lot of people are scared that they're not Nagy's offense. He wasn't good last year in Nagy's offense, and that's what's scaring people away. I hope I said that right. So I mean, they just don't know what they're getting out of him. He had so many opportunities to get you some goal line garbage touchdowns, and they just didn't give him the ball at the goal line. And then when they did give him the ball at the goal line, he really didn't go anywhere. So it's I think he could be fantasy relevant. He definitely is a good running back. He's young, but I think it's going to be more of a split there between him and Sanders. So it's really hard to say who you want and if you want to start one week in and week out. As far as their top five, not their top five, but their guys that are going in the top five rounds for ADP, Zach Ertz is pretty much the only one going in the third round. None of their other guys are going that high. I like DeSean Jackson this year. He really only brings the one element to the offense, but it's a home run element. So it'd kind of suck if you got him on a week that really only gets 10 points for you or one catch for 10 yards. But if you get him on a week where Carson Wentz just throws a couple bombs to him and he ends up with two touchdowns at 150 yards, you could win your week right there. Anybody else that you want to touch on? Brian, do you want to get in anybody deep that we're not thinking of that you're pretty high on or any of the IDP guys or anything for the future for him?
So I'll say this about Jordan Howard. I'm a huge believer in that you have to have a short memory in fantasy, and I'm also terrible at that. And Jordan Howard basically cost me a title last year drafting him as my running back two in a league. The dude has tons of talent. You can look at his numbers in Chicago prior to last year. He's a solid, steady guy, but he just killed me last year. So, public service announcement to all of our listeners, don't be like me. Don't have a short memory. Jordan Howard may have an excellent season in Philly this year, but personally, he burned me so bad last year with like 4 and 5 point weeks that I just can't draft him. And I also see what's going on in Philly. I see that they drafted a rookie. I see that Clement is still around. I see that Josh Adams is still hanging around. I could very much see that being a committee situation. And I'm just avoiding Sanders and Howard, you know, based on where you have to draft them this year. I do love Sanders and Dynasty, though, for sure. You know, you can't pass up on a rookie with that much talent.
Yeah, I definitely have some weeks last year in the chat where I was mother effing Howard for those low scoring games. Eric, dude, what do you got about the Eagles?
Okay, yeah. So Eagles in general. Wentz, I like Carson Wentz. I think he's one of those guys that it's a super high ceiling and a super low floor, man. I don't know. He's my QB13 right now. He's right outside my top 12. So I probably won't end up with him in any leagues, but I can totally see him being a top five guy, but I can also see him being at the end because I think that they're going to run the ball. They have a great defense. The Eagles, I think, are going to play good defense. I think they're going to be in the top of the division. I think they're going to be contending with the Cowboys, but I think it's going to be through running the ball and the Cowboys. Jordan Howard will get his work. I think, Sanders, I love Sanders at his price. I think that he's going to be a guy at the end of the year that you're going to wish you had. He's going to be one of those guys that comes in at the end, and maybe he's not in the RBBC that Peterson is so used to running. He's going to be the guy there, and if that's the case, he's going to be great. Jeffrey, I have him ranked right where he's going. I probably won't own much of him because of the fact that I love Djax going at wide receiver 49, and his ADP is 131st overall. I think he's going to finish well above that. I think that Carson Wentz is going to air the ball out to him at any chance he gets. I think that he's the guy that – so I'm going to fade Jeffrey specifically so that I can get Djax on my bench later on in the rounds. Ertz, there is nothing – you know, there's nothing to be said about it. I'll take him all day, middle of round three. He's the guy I'm going to take there. There's a huge discrepancy, and I've been looking at it and studying it, and about – winning championship teams last year and either having Kelce, Ertz, or Kittle on them. And it's a huge number, man. It's a big, big number. But that being said, those guys were not being drafted in the first three rounds last year. So I do need to break that down a little more and actually analyze it and see where it's at. But the positional strength at tight end where you go Kelce, Ertz, Kittle, especially for me, Kelce, Ertz, Kittle with Garoppolo, I still don't know. But Kelce, way up for me. And Ertz, round three, I'm taking those guys. I'm going to build my team and have that spot way better than anybody else's every week to week. And then for me, Goddard, I don't think he's getting enough love. I think that he's going to be a guy that steps in. I think Ertz could be a top two, and Goddard could be a top 12 tight end this year. I don't see that being outside the realms of possibility. I think Goddard's just as talented as.
So it looks like we're having some technical difficulties. Eric doesn't look like he's able to get back in here. So Brian, why don't you finish it off with Dallas Goddard there? I know you had a couple things about him, and just kind of pick up where Eric was, where he was talking about.
Sure. I feel like I was slacking as an Eagles fan there, not mentioning Goddard. The dude's going to be on the field a lot. He's big, fast, strong, talented. The Eagles will happily use two tight end sets a lot. So bringing it back to earlier in the pod, if I'm waiting on tight end, if I'm taking a Jordan Reed, a TJ Hockenson, you know, streaming tight ends, I'm very happy to roll Goddard in, you know, for a bye week fill in or, you know, an injury or something like that. He's a guy that I think should be drafted. He was definitely drafted if you're in a dynasty league. So he's a guy that I consider making a trade for in a dynasty league if you can get him on the cheap. But I think the Eagles, you know, Doug Peterson's a very smart guy. He's going to see that he's one of his top, you know, talented offensive options and get him incorporated. So, yeah, thank you to our lost colleague Eric here due to his crappy Walmart Wi-Fi, but good on him for bringing up Goddard. He's definitely a guy that's worth taking a gamble on, and he's a guy that you could stream. There's going to be weeks where he gets four or five catches and a touchdown, no doubt about it.
Yeah, and I could definitely see that. It's hard to imagine that having a tight end that's in the upper echelon as Ertz and grabbing their secondary tight end and still getting some fantasy relevancy out of him. But with Dallas Goedert, he definitely has the talent to do that. The Eagles definitely spread the ball enough for him to do that. They're going to run a lot of two tight end sets. So definitely a possibility that he is fantasy relevant, even with the gods of Zach Ertz being there. Is there any players from any of these teams that we may have skipped over, that we may have missed, anything like that? Off the top of my head, I can't think of anybody. Do you guys have anybody that you could think of?
I mean, just a little bit more love for Kelvin Harmon. I mean, not just that, you know, we've personally talked to him, but I mean, I don't even know how they snagged him in the sixth round. I mean, coming into the whole draft process, he had like a borderline first round grade on him. And I mean, I think with being there where you literally on offense, it's fair to say your best player is a 50-year-old running back. I mean, it can turn out where Kelvin Harmon just comes in there, takes over the wide receiver one spot in Washington, and becomes a, you know, a borderline wide receiver 2-3 spot, a flex play. It's something that people really should think about and watch closely. And not even just Kelvin Harmon. I mean, any of these rookies, any of these no-name wide receivers in Washington right now. And don't forget how talented Darius Geis is. I mean, it was a shame that he got hurt, you know, before he even took a meaningful snap in Washington, because he is super talented. Some people, especially if some people really don't follow college football too much, they might not realize that and definitely sleep on the guy. But if you can get, you know, Geis in a good spot, or, you know, just keep your eye on Kelvin Harmon, I think one of those guys are going to end up paying dividends.
Now, I don't want to get into record predictions just yet. I think it's a little too early for that. But do you guys want to say who your division winners are? Brian, I'll take your biased and your unbiased one. And then, Adam, if you want to give me your division winner, who do you think is going to win?
Man, my biased one is that the Eagles take the NFC East this year. I do feel that way, biased and unbiased. But I absolutely have fear of the Cowboys. You know, they still have a very solid offensive line. They still have Zeke. You know, Cooper looked fantastic once he got there. Now he's at a full off season. So I think it's, you know, I think it's going to come down to the wire with the Eagles and the Cowboys. And I think they're both playoff teams, you know, one being the winner, one being a wild card team for sure. And yeah, I think the Giants and the Redskins are going to be, you know, easy wins for most of their opponents this year.
Adam, who do you got between the Eagles and the Giants, or Eagles and Cowboys?
I'm going to go Eagles if Carson Wentz plays at least 13 games. If not, I think it's going to be Dallas.
Yeah, it's a two-horse race. There's no doubt about that, Eagles and Cowboys. I'm going to go with the Eagles, too. I just think they're more well-rounded. They don't have the run game that Dallas has, but I think overall Carson Wentz and the receivers that he has and Zach Ertz, they just have so much talent on that offense for them to kind of just overcome anything. They'll be able to get out of some second half deficits if they're in any, come down to the wire, and Carson Wentz could lead a fourth quarter drive down the field. I'll tell you one thing, those Dallas and Eagle games are going to be very good games to watch, both of them. So I can't wait to watch those games.
One thing, though, that could be a huge factor in who wins this division, too, between those two teams is it's kind of what maybe like a sleeper thought. But, I mean, look at those two young linebackers in Dallas, though. I mean, they can both just take over games on that side of the ball, stop momentum, absolutely just kill any team. I mean, Vander Esch and Jalen Smith, they're the future of – they're the future stars of, you know, the defense probably they're going to be the two most well-known guys, I think, when you bring up linebackers in the next couple years. And they're both monsters. I mean, Jalen Smith would have been – I think he would have been even better now if he would never had the injuries in college. And, man, it's just – they're scary guys. I mean, to go up against those two guys that just – they're right next to each other. Any team has to go in there and just be worried. I mean, you really have to play in your offense – away from those two guys, and it's so hard to do against Vander Esch because he's around the ball every snap. I mean, how do you even avoid a guy like that?
Yeah, I completely agree on that. That's why I brought them up before we even segued into Washington. You know, they're absolutely terrifying. Every game that we've played against the Cowboys since they've been there, they've been problematic. I completely agree. This season, this division is going to be decided by Carson Wentz's health and, you know, how the Cowboys play out. And if those two linebackers can stay healthy, if Zeke has his head in the right place, if Cooper really takes that next step into the upper echelon. But, yeah, man, it's going to be – those games are going to be an absolute blast to watch. I'm going to request off of work for both of them for sure.
And the day after, too. It was,
and the day after.
This was definitely a nice division to start with. It was great having you on, Brian. It was awesome talking football with you and just in general and finally getting you on a podcast. Real quick before we go, if you're a regular listener and dating back to our very first episode, you may have heard some crying, some baby noises, some dogs in the background. And by the time this episode airs, that little man that you guys heard in the background, he's going to be 1 year old. The time has just flown by just this past year. And it's just an amazing feeling. I know you guys are both fathers. Eric's a father too. And I think I speak for all of us when I say it's the greatest feature in the world. Nothing beats it at all. So just real quick before we go, I just want to talk about fatherhood. What was it like when you guys first knew that you were going to become a dad?
Adam, oh, man. God, Adam, you go first. You're first in alphabetical order.
I'm sure I can speak for Brian as well, since we're both a hell of a lot younger than you and Eric were when we had our first kid. But I was 16 when my daughter was born. And, man, it changed me so much. I mean, I don't even know if I would be here if it wasn't for her. I was messing around with the wrong crowd, causing trouble, you know, starting fights, doing stupid stuff that I shouldn't have done. And it's nothing that happened to me changed it at all. And then all of a sudden she was born and I instantly stopped everything. So it's more of a lifesaver on me than anything else. I mean, people can say how hard it is, because it's extremely difficult, especially like the younger you are, like the harder it is. But man, if you're in a bad situation, that just, it completely flips your life upside down.
Yeah, man, I couldn't agree more. I was definitely wilding out, getting in all kinds of trouble, getting arrested, just not living the right way. I was 20 when I found out we were pregnant, 21 when my daughter was born, and it definitely changed my life, man. It's an awesome thing. My daughter is now about to start her senior year of high school. She gives me a reason to wake up every day and keep my act together, and we were just hanging out today, went to the supermarket, bought her a bunch of stuff. She was making me laugh. I was making her laugh. She's basically an adult now, and I've got like a little adult version of me running around. Cracks me up. It pisses her mother off because, you know, her mother didn't get along with me. So now she has to battle with a little female version of me, even though we're not together. It's pretty awesome. But yeah, man, fatherhood is, you know, it changed my life. It saved my life. And I wouldn't change it for anything.
Yeah, it's amazing how these things just change everything. I mean, it's like, I wouldn't say that I was like just a real crazy drinker, but I definitely stopped drinking a lot since he's been born. But it's awesome, man. I mean, I can't explain it anything any better than that. We just had his first birthday party this past Sunday, and it was like we got toys laying all over the house now. So I just wanted to touch on that a little bit. Don't want to get too sappy. Don't want to steer the focus away from fantasy football or football at all, but just, I mean, he's definitely made his presence known during these shows, so I figured I'd share a little backstory on him. But it definitely an awesome episode. It sucks that we lost Eric again. We got to figure that out, because it seems to be happening on a weekly basis, but we'll figure that out, get him on here. Maybe he'll finish a show with us once. And then Brian, you got anything before you go?
No, man, really, it was a blast being on with you guys. I definitely want to do the rest of these divisional ones with you. It was very clean and simple and easy to, you know, do a little research and give my opinions. And I love listening to the pod. I can't wait to be on another one.
All right, well, we appreciate you coming on. Adam, any last words?
Yeah, just stay tuned for our draft guide. I mean, that's going to be out within the next month. So, I mean, that's basically – this will be huge. I mean, and these are just so fun to do. I mean, especially having more people on. I mean, honestly, we could probably have everybody in the chat on all at one time and just be here for like probably 6-7 hours. So it's fun to at least get another guy on just to talk football.
Yeah, next week I think we're going to be having Deals coming on. So,
oh man, get ready for a lot of Mitch Trubisky love. This kid.
Yeah, we're gonna dip into the NFC North next week. You and Eric are gonna, or Adam and Eric are gonna have a lot of stuff to talk about, battling back and forth, and it's gonna be fun. So, with that, make sure you follow Fantasy Football Fraternity on Facebook, and just check out the podcast. Let us know what you feel, and we'll get back to you guys next week.